Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of the
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you today. And, you know, I thought we would do a little turnaround. As if you remember our friends Yoda and Backpack, I do. They come on my show a lot, and they like to have me on their show a lot. And what we decided to do is we're going to kind of do a simulcast at the same time. So what's going to happen today is Yoda and Backpack are going to ask me questions tying into what's going on in the world financially and terroristic wise. So let's get right to Yoda and Backpack as they interview me, Bubba. Here we go.
If I was any better, brother, there would be two of us. We have today our expert on finance and economics, the Todd Bubba Horowitz. We have, as you know, we've got experts in each of our categories within our sphere of interest. We are privileged and honored to have Brother Bubba with us. He's straight talk. He's straight up. None of that mind-boggling numbers, financial, economic stuff. Here we go. Good afternoon, Bubba, my man.
What's up, fellas? The Backpack and Yoda. What's new on the terrorist scene there?
Well, we've collected questions from our audience in preparation for your distinguished guest appearance. One of the things we want to go back to 2008 and talk about. What we're seeing is, where are we now? Have we recovered from the 2008 global banking collapse?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what you call recovered. I mean, if you're rich to begin with, you know, then you were never really in that much trouble, and you're just a lot richer than you were in 2008. If you were among the entitled back then, then you've gotten more entitlements. You've gotten like a raise because, you know, our great president has decided that he's trying to buy the Democratic vote by giving them more free toys. You know, he gives everybody a phone now so they can, you know, make sure he can call them and tell them to get out every 2 years to vote. But if you're among the middle class, you are still in a recession as far as I'm concerned. You are still not thriving. Some of you are still not working. But of course, the great leadership that we have here continues to tell you what a great job they're doing for us. But of course, you and I, we all know that that's a bunch of, as you know, what I like to call hogwash, because we have not seen anything of what I would call an improving economy for the middle class. They're not working. And especially, you know, guys, my peers, my age group, 45 to 65, guys who aren't educated, who were machinists or manufacturers, they're sitting home, and if they're working, they're working at minimum wage. And, you know, that's a whole another debate. But as far as I'm concerned, except if you want to count the thievery of the banks and the banking cartel head, now Janet Yellen, used to be Ben Bernanke, who, you know, likes to rob from the poor and give to the rich, then, yeah, we've recovered. But as far as I'm concerned, this is an abomination of power and an abomination of what we should be seeing. And they have not gone one step to help the middle class.
Well, we're saying that the federal banks have built up $30 trillion worth of these toxic assets that destroyed our economy in 2008. And the question is, are there still all these toxic assets out there?
Well, again, they're only toxic when they get caught. You know, a Ponzi scheme is only a Ponzi scheme when it collapses. And, of course, our Federal Reserve is running, we'll call it a legalized Ponzi scheme right now, because really, you know, what is a Ponzi scheme? It's when you have to get new money in to pay off old debtors. And, of course, the banks, you know, they go on their merry way knowing that, well, if the economy is going to fail, then, well, the Federal Reserve will bail us out and they'll come up with some kind of cockamamie new quantitative easing program to help bail us out. They ruined the economy in 07, 08 while they were making all that money. And, you know, Backpacking Yoda, if it were you and me that were running that business, we would either be in bankruptcy court or in jail. But, of course, the banks have done nothing but flourish. And if you look at the dynamics of why they flourished, well, they dropped the interest rate or the lending rate to the banks to zero. So when you give somebody free money, well, what can they do with it? They can loan it out in this case. And the rates have come down for the borrower to so cheap that no middle class, no average guy could borrow money, because why would a bank want to loan it to you at 3.5% or 4% when they can give it back to the full faith and credit of the United States government at 2.5% with no risk? So what we've seen is we saw the first unwinding of toxic assets, but I assure you that there is a new batch of toxic assets, whether it be car loans, whether it be some of this new housing they're doing now. They've got, especially out in the West Coast, they've got a lot of this 4% money borrowing to buy homes for a down payment, and you can actually get a grant to get the 4%. So basically you're buying a home again with no money down. So I don't think that has any traumatic benefit to anybody. And once again, they're building up, you know, the banks, of course, are building up their war chest. And the Gen Xers, which, you know, let's say, I guess, 35 to 45, you know, they're stuck borrowing off their credit card and using their credit cards more than anybody. And of course, if you've ever had a late payment to a credit company, you know the usury rates that they charge you. So in my eyes, it's still a pretty ugly situation.
So what we're seeing now with Greece, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, my contention has been all along that Greece was that Chancellor Merkel wanted to throw him out on her ass. Okay. But the fear of losing Spain, Portugal, and Italy, which they call the pigs, which is Portugal, India, Greece, and Spain. But Greece itself brings no value to the table. Greece itself has the GDP of the state of Indiana. And with that GDP, 50% of their GDP goes to entitlement programs. So they're funding, you know, if you think about it this way, guys, when you look at Greece, and basically their retirement age is 50, they pay no income tax under 90,000 euros. So, you know, let's say it's $100,000. You don't have to pay any taxes. And even the people that make more don't pay the taxes. So that's problem number one, because they have no revenue coming in. Problem number two is that they pay out, the Greeks pay out, I believe the number is 6 times what they take in. So they're always going to be in debt looking for action. So that takes care of more of that problem. So we are being interviewed by our good friends Yoda and Backpack, and we're mixing in a little combo of both shows. But we are talking, you know, financial and what's going on throughout the world. And, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, and I want to mention again today, is the Badger and myself, we are putting together a group webinar. And it will be a very small group. There will be a maximum of 10 people per webinar, because I want to make sure that you understand how to defend and hedge your portfolio. I want to make sure that you don't have that same problem that you had in 2008. Now, there is going to be a cost. And to get more information on this webinar, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. In the meantime, make sure you go to thebubbashow.org and check out some of the things we're doing now. I am so excited about what we're doing and how we're going to help everybody through this tough time that is coming, that I can't wait. So we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. I am being interviewed by Yoda and Backpack. We're going to step out now and come back on the break and continue on with Yoda and Backpack and Bubba. Look around. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood with you, and we're having some fun with Dodo and Backpack as I try to educate their audience on financial matters and what's going on. And we've spent a lot of time talking about Greece and the problems that they are creating and why the markets are reacting in the way that they are. But I think it's important for you to understand, because a lot of these dynamics fit across the board. And as we look into our own situation here in the U.S., we're not going to have these same exact type of problems, but similar problems do exist here. So let's get back to Yoda and Backpack as they continue to fire away and ask me questions, and we mix in their stuff as well. So let's get back to Yoda and Backpack. Them out is she didn't, because she felt that she would be setting a precedent for the others. Now that Greece themselves had initially voted to leave, okay, because they didn't like the austerity measures. But of course now, you know, they're still going around with these goofy votes trying to figure out. And of course, if you're a Seinfeld fan, and you remember when they sold the show and George Bush said, well, it wasn't enough money, and he went back and renegotiated for less money. Well, now the Greeks has now renegotiated a worse deal than they were offered originally. My opinion is Greece is going to be gone. I don't think there's any way. I don't know that they bring, again, in my opinion only, they bring no benefit to the table. I believe that you will see the drachma make a resounding recovery when we come back to it.
What's the average Greek guy on the street and gal? What are they going through right now? What's going through their brain?
Well, I mean, it's pretty troubling for them. I mean, basically, you know, I've been joking around with it, but it's, you know, Greece on $66 a day, because that's the maximum you can draw out of the bank. So, you know, the good people there are concerned. And, you know, again, that society is an entirely different society to begin with. You know, they're not from the hardest working sector. I mean, they can legitimately, I kid around and say they go to work at 21 and they can retire at 22. But they legitimately can retire at age 50 with 90% of their last earnings. So think about that for a minute. I mean, if you can retire, so how the hell are they ever going to be able to pay off numbers like that? It's not a logical proposition. It brings in a whole bunch of other murky details. And, you know, the average guy, yeah, they're struggling because, again, they can't get their money out of the bank. Banks are closed. They allow, again, $66 a visit to the ATM. You know, if you remember the gas lines in the States when we had a shortage of gas back in the 70s and 80s, they've got, you know, ATM lines. And, of course, the ATM machines run out of money. So it's a pretty ugly scenario there. I'm surprised we haven't seen more rioting and things like that. But they're definitely into some more trouble there before it's all said and done.
So the area of this PIG, the Portugal, Italy, and Greece, that really concerns you. And what if Portuguese and the Italians, they also fall and close all their banks? What's the fallout of that?
And Spain. Well, the difference is Greece is a non-producer. But the others are producers. They're revenue generators. They have they're manufacturers. They're much more of a concern, and if they fall, then that would create a worldwide crisis and a worldwide panic. And I don't know that they will, but I do know that, you know, we're seeing the bubble type territory that we've talked about, you know, before, you know, and you're seeing a little bit of it in China right now. That, you know, you cannot continue to run an economy on hopes and dreams and manipulation and socialism. It just doesn't work out when it's all said and done. So if there's a whiff of Portugal or Italy or Spain having trouble and going to possibly default, you would see chills run through the financial markets. And that might be a reason to consider a collapse, because you're seeing it now, and you saw it last week. where the markets were very volatile based on China dropping so much and the Greek vote. But at the end, if the more nations that get in trouble, the more problems that you will probably see and probably have. And that will create, you know, something. The markets itself, the United States markets are waiting for a reason to collapse. Okay? They're just the fundamental undertones that we have do not support a stock market at or near record highs. And at some point, the bubble will burst. And, you know, once again, the poor middle class will be holding the bag saying, what happened to me this time?
So what would be some examples of how, for example, Spain is a producing nation versus Greece being a non-producer?
Well, I mean, you know, Spain, they, you know, they're leather manufacturers. They make a lot of the, you know, the footwear and a lot of the clothing that you see. So, you know, they actually generate real dollars. So if they would start to default, that would be, you know, very bad, because that's part of the whole Eurozone. And the same in Portugal, you know, and Italy. Those are all, you know, they all do manufacturing and they have a lot of the same benefits that the Greeks have. But they actually do bring in real money and real growth to those nations. And they have value, and their debt would be much harder to replace. So they would have a problem, and I would assume their debt is also much bigger.
I have a backpack adote, which is like an antidote. When I spent time in Greece about 16 years ago when they were still on the drachma, and when I was traveling on a tour, we did a great tour of Athens, beautiful, beautiful city, but one of the guys I was with was a fellow American. You can always spot them out really easily when you're traveling. And he was videotaping the whole thing, and one of the things I gather was he wasn't really enjoying it. He was just videoing it, and you couldn't wait to get home to show off to his family all these and bore them to death with these pictures. But I got the feeling the whole time he had no interest in really enjoying the beauty of the city. He was just videotaping it. What were some of your adventures in Greece, Yoda?
I took a lesson from you. I spent quite a bit of time there. I was north on the Yugoslavian border in Salonika, and I was southwest in Igoumenitsi. I find that they're the most hospitable people generally in the world to visit, but they're not into work much. Hell, they were all working for the government.
Well, you know, they're not, it's not a, again, it's a vacation paradise. It's not a big working area. Yeah, that's always a problem when you look at, you know, you look around the globe and you go, you know, where is the work and who's willing to do it? And that was always one of the things that made the U.S. of A. such a great place, because typically the United States is full of workers and capitalists and guys and gals that want to, you know, take their businesses to the next level. And unfortunately, you know, even we now are falling into some of that entitled life, and that creates more problems. See, that this is the whole, everything is a chain reaction when you look back at it. And what you're going to see here eventually is a problem, because you cannot have what we have going on here right now. And I'll break it down for you in just a second here. Oh, and I will break it down after the break. But, you know, again, remember that entitlement programs are really more of the legalized Ponzi scheme variety. Because when you have to take in new money to pay off old debt or old money or entitlement programs in this case, what you're finding out and what you will see is that that will indeed create a bigger problem. And Bubba Show listeners, I don't want you to have this problem. And I have the solution, okay? I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years. The Badger has been doing it for 35 years. We've been partners since the beginning. And we've never had to worry about the major meltdowns of the market, because we understand how to hedge. And in today's world, hedging has never become easier, better, or more actually lucrative because of the way you can do things now and turn your portfolio around. So as I've mentioned, we are putting together a webinar series with a maximum of 10 people per webinar, five webinars, approximately an hour a week, 5 hours. Again, there is a cost. I want to help you out. Email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and we'll get you hooked up. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horch. We're going to stop out for a break and come back with our friends You're Yoda so and Backpack as they continue to interview Bubba. You're so soft,
sweet on the Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm having a good time with my friends, Yoda and Backpack, as they continue to drill down with more questions as we're talking about why are we having really problems and where are the problems coming from. And now we're going to get back into talking to about why the entitlement programs are not good for what we're trying to accomplish. So let's get back to Yoda, Backpack, and myself. You look at our economy, okay, and let's start with jobs. We are not creating good, solid jobs. We're creating a bunch of minimum wage jobs. So every time a company like Schlumberger or Microsoft lays off employees, those employees are typically very well compensated. You know, I would say, and I don't have the numbers specifically, but I would say a Schlumberger probably makes somewhere between $35 and $50 an hour if you make it based on an hourly wage minimum. And I would say probably Microsoft in the same category. And that's probably the low end of the scale. So it takes 4 to 5 to 6 to 10 people at minimum wage to replace that income. Now, when a guy or gal is making, let's say, $50 an hour, or, you know, it's a couple of thousand dollars a week, $100,000 a year, you know, they're usually spenders. They've got, you know, supplies. They've got to, you know, buy food and you know, clothing, and they've got kids usually. They take care of business, and they stimulate the economy. The minute you take those people away, you end up with crappy retail sales, which we see the lowest level of retail sales since 2011. You see no spending. Okay, you see people getting into more debt. I mean, interesting stat, the average American, if they had a $600 emergency bill, they couldn't pay for it. Now, that's a pretty scary thought because, you know, $600, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money. But when the average American can't pay a $600 bill in an emergency, that's a problem. And you have our president, championing this bill for higher minimum wage. Now, you know, certainly Yoda, you're more from my era, but Backpack, you're old enough to know that, you know, minimum wage jobs were not instilled to be a career. The minimum wage, the original benefit of minimum wage was to stop slave labor of women and children. So they forced them to pay at least a livable wage. As we've gone on, minimum wage continued to rise with the cost of living. But minimum wage jobs then became those for kids in high school, for, you know, people, you know, working in the summer when you were going to college, whatever. They weren't meant as destination jobs. Now, some people took, you know, you went to work for a McDonald's and you worked hard and they liked you, so they turned you into a manager and you end up running your own store or a Walgreens or any of those types of places. Some people do take that route and they work there. But nobody should be hoping to be destined to be stuck in the minimum wage. So now you have the president saying, well, we should be paying $15 to get people above poverty level. And I'm going, well, wait a second. If you pay $15 to the average worker at minimum wage, do you realize that you will cut your employment staff probably in half again? Because think about this, and I've used this example on air before, but I'll use it on your airwaves. You take the average McDonald's, my guess is, and I don't know this, but I'm assuming based on the ones I go to, most of them are open 24 hours a day right now. Most of them have usually approximately 5 employees on staff at all times. So if you take 5 employees times the work week has 168 hours, 7 times 24. You take that, so you've got 724 hours times 5, okay, times 5, times 6. It comes out to $250,000 a year. Now, I don't know too many small businesses that have an extra $260,000 cash laying around that they can afford to pay for payroll. So what are they going to do? If that case does happen, well, what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, we got to figure out a way to cut back our payroll. And they're going to start cutting those jobs. And they're going to start to automate. Just like now when you go to some of the Walmarts, you go to the Home Depots, they've got self-checkout registers. So one person can watch 5 registers versus having 5 people working on those registers. And that is the problem with this ridiculous plan that our great leader has in mind, is to screw everybody and put everybody out of business and make it so that you even have more problems. I mean, if they want to address the issue, then why not close part of the post office? Now, I'm not saying take people that are working as postal workers and put them out of jobs. I'm saying you've got, in this country, in my neighborhood, I've got 6 or 7 post offices within a 5-mile drive of me, okay? Now, think about the cost to run those buildings. Forget about the employees. I would never want to fire people because we're overstaffed. But what you have to do first is you have to quit hiring, number one. Number two, you have to take those people out of those rural post offices that handle 2 or 3 people, okay, and move them to actual places where you're busy. And as they age out and as population, because we don't use mail much anymore. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to the post office. Well, I'm sorry. I was there last week because I had to pick up a package because I wasn't home to get the package. But for the most part, I can't tell you the last time I've been to the post office, because what do we do now? We use email. We use, fax. We use, I pay my bills online, so I don't need to mail my bills. I don't have to mail checks. So, you know, you've got all of these workers, and the part that they're, first of all, they make a lot more than minimum wage. And again, I don't want to take anything away from them. They're entitled to it. That was the deal they signed up for. But their pensions are huge, okay? And those pensions are also underfunded. So, you know, if you want to really start to stimulate growth in the economy, the first thing you have to do is you have to start cutting, and you've got to change some of the Ponzi schemes that we're running, okay? Because Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, because they refuse to change retirement age. You know, it was a great concept when it was first brought out, but now you cannot fund it because they never took the time to say, well, you know, now the average, you know, when they put 65 in as an age barrier, 65 was, you know, just extended past what the expected life of a person was. So what happened is you paid out of your paycheck every week or every two, whatever it was, and there was money for the people that did live past 65. Well, now the average age is about 75. Now, you're paying people 10 years more. You can't possibly fund the money, the pension, with that kind of money. It doesn't work. So if you want to be funding a pension program, you have to make it acceptable where people can actually benefit from it, because you'll see at some point a lot of people are not going to get their Social Security. They're going to get screwed out of this money, just like Bernie Madoff took the money from them.
Backpack has an interesting McDonald's story for you regarding labor and reduction of labor. Bubba, here you go, Vic.
Yeah, we've seen recent articles in Seattle, Washington, where they did raise it to $15 a minimum wage, and they've built a bunch of robot kiosks in McDonald's, exactly what you were saying before. So they only have to hire two or three people at $15, and the customer will come in, punch in a bunch of buttons, and suddenly their burger or whatever they're ordering shows up magically. So we're right on. We're seeing that right now.
Well, I mean, look, you could take a look at Sonic. I mean, they're a great franchise. They started out like that. That's their business model. They don't have a lot of employees at Sonic. They have a couple of waiters or waitresses, whatever. They bring the food to the car, but you punch everything in on your own. You make your own order, so they don't have somebody sitting here taking your order. Can I take your order, please? And listen, you're going to see a lot more of that going forward. And this is going to be a disaster before it's all said and done. And this is one of the smaller disasters, but this is going to be a problem. And until we wake up and smell the coffee, there's going to be problems, because, again, minimum wage was not what the average American should be striving for. And as we beat the drum on the minimum wage, and this is where I have a big problem with our president, with our current administration, because they don't get the fact of how much money you actually have to make to move up on minimum wage. Now, nobody in their life should ever strive to have a minimum wage job, which I said. Okay, that is not how you get ahead in this world. Americans should never settle. Minimum wage jobs are really for a high school summer, high school student, college for the summer. Or maybe, you know, if you'd like to earn some extra money, you need an extra job, and you're just looking to make a few extra bucks. That's what minimum wage is for. Okay. Not for you to build a family on, to build a career on. Now, a lot of us start out at minimum wage with a company and grow our way forward. But if you think that, you know, minimum wage, just because they raise, is going to help, I think you better think again. The damage that will be caused by a raise in minimum wage to ridiculous levels will cause probably one of the most major financial crises that we've ever seen. And that's what you should be aware of when you vote, or when you cheer on the chief, the commander-in-chief, who, in my eyes, has done probably one of the worst jobs running a company than anybody could imagine. But this is the Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back with more with my friends Yoda and Backpack. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
10 miles from town. After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're having a lot of fun today with my friends Yoda and Backpack. And I think that it's been informative and concise as to how I see the overall world and the overall economy. And I think that I hope that you're getting a lot out of it and you're learning a lot, because I'm telling it to you straight. That's who I am. I believe in telling you straight. And as we went to break, my friend Yoda had a question he wanted to ask me. So we're going to get back to our friends Yoda and Backpack as Yoda comes to and brings in another one of his little wits and questions to me. So let's get back to Yoda and Backpack and myself doing a three-way.
Said back in the day, certainly my day, that was an after high school job, that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, Backpack and I have spent a lot of time in Europe. I've lived there probably half my life. Europeans, Belgians, Germans, French, they saved. You find them jamming up the post office where they have a savings account, where we Americans don't save, do we?
No, but the problem with Americans, the reason Americans don't save is they don't have any money. You know, we're not making money. You know, you hear, again, I'll refer to our great Fed chair. You know, she keeps talking about, well, we need some inflation for this economy. Well, hell, I don't know. I'll give you some stats that you can roll these around in your head and tell me what you think. 1987. The federal deficit, or the Fed budget, or the Fed downfall, the deficit was $200 billion, okay? In the year 2015, that is now up to $4.5 trillion. So there, that the deficit has grown 235 times over 28 years. The Warren Buffett in 1987 was worth an estimated $2.1 billion. Today, Warren Buffett is worth about $73 billion, so you can multiply his bet by almost 37 times. Now, the average American in 1987 made $24,000 to $25,000 a year. The average American today makes $50,000 a year. So you tell me how it works out that when you were making $24,000 a year, gasoline was, I don't know, a dollar a gallon. I don't remember back then, but $1.50. An apartment rent was maybe $1,800. You know, I don't know. It depends where you lived. A new car. I mean, I bought an Eldorado in 1987. I think it was 15,000 maybe. That same car today is probably 60. So you tell me how the average guy can continue to grow. Okay. And unfortunately, they have forced everybody. If you want return or yield on your money, put it in the stock market or in your mattress. Those are the only two options you have right now. And if you don't think that's not a problem, then you think again.
Well, what we've seen in Greece with everybody running on the bank, I think I hear 4.1 billion euros were taken out. People were mad rush on the banks. If that were to happen here in the United States, what would you advise? I mean, I guess they had about a week window where people just went crazy removing money. Would you see that happening here in the U.S.?
I think that we'd be a little bit ahead of that curve, and I don't mean that there wouldn't be a run on the banks. I believe that the banks would shut down long if there was a whiff of that. But remember, we continue to print money. We bailed out the banks once. And I would not be surprised if there was a problem, they would bail them out again, which is why the numbers are so out of skew to the actual growth that we look at. You know, we keep making things out of, we try to impress and tell everybody how well the economy is growing. But when you look around, you know, where are we growing? Where is the real growth? We've seen a tremendous amount of stocks. Companies buy back their own stock because they can get cheap money. We've seen a lot of mergers and acquisitions because they can get cheap money. But I don't believe there'll be a run on the banks here yet. I believe that the one thing I will give our system is we'd be pretty much prepared for it. Now, if you go back to 08, I was not a fan of bailing out the banks, but you know, I can't. I'm not an economist. I still can't really make up my mind, but people that I have a lot of respect for said that it needed to be done. It was the right thing. And I believe that would happen again, should there be a run in the bank, so to speak, because I believe that this country is ahead of it. And again, they can always institute a new program. And of course they can devalue the currency by printing more money. So I think that that would be something that would be done. So I don't see that type of run in the bank. I don't see a replay of 1929 in that respect.
Well, the axiom goes, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. And since our politicians, bankers, and citizens seem to have ignored the horrifying events of just 6 years ago, would you say, well, how do you feel about that statement?
Well, I mean, they always ignore history. I mean, that's why we make history, right? I mean, you know, you can go back to the name Sir Isaac Newton. He went broke in the South Sea Bubble in the 1700s. Now, that debt was just relieved about a year ago now. They just finally paid back the rest of that debt 400 years later. So, yes, I believe that history will repeat itself. I believe that we will see another calamity. I believe we'll see another stock market meltdown because we've seen it before. This is not a one-off occasion. And again, I don't worry about a stock market sell-off today. I only worry about people that aren't prepared for history to repeat itself because, as you say, it will repeat itself. But what I always urge all investors to do, there are many ways you can prepare yourself for that financial calamity, and you can be prepared and ready to go just the same as you would do if you were, you know, going out and buying canned foods and things to store. There are ways you can protect your portfolio as well and do the same thing.
Let me frame a question for you that Backpack generated anticipating your coming. We've been in the counter-terrorist business since the mid-70s, before it was fashionable. Therefore, we have true insiders now, in and recently out of the CIA, recent comments by the director of FBI. We could form a general officers club from the Pentagon. They are each and every one saying that ISIS terrorist attacks on the U.S., on our homeland, are inevitable and close on the horizon. That means vehicle-borne IEDs. That means active shooters, as occurred recently on the Mediterranean, like that. Question is, presume a couple active shooters wipe out a beach in Long Island, one in Florida, 40, 50 casualties. A couple good-sized truck-borne IEDs take down a building or two. What happens then to the economy, Bubba?
And you know what? We're going to come back tomorrow and answer that question because, A, it's important for you to understand what I think will happen. B, it's more than likely to happen because we've already seen little things like it. And if you forget what happened last week between the United Airlines being shut down because of a computer glitch, the New York Stock Exchange being shut down because of a computer glitch, and the Wall Street Journal having a problem because of a computer glitch. Now, I'm not saying that this was terrorist related, but it could have been. And of course, in today's world, you could never know exactly what that problem might be or where it might come from. So we're going to step out here for today. I hope you've enjoyed so far, and we're going to come back again tomorrow with Yoda and Backpack because they are bringing it to Bubba with the questions and trying to tie it together, what's going to happen. This has been The Bubba Show. I have been entertaining my friends Yoda and Backpack, and we're going to step out here for the day. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Make sure you're here. Don't miss the rest of me with Yoda and Backpack. We'll be back tomorrow. So you have everybody a great day, same time tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.